good evening. You are listening to thedotmatrix.com, and I'm Sean.
I'm Justin.
And I just went right into that without really thinking about it.
I know, so
as you can tell.
We typically decide right before we press the space bar as to whether or not who is going to start, and we didn't this time.
I just took the reins.
Yeah, so you know who wears the pants in this relationship.
Well, I don't know. I think if we ask most people, they might think you do.
Oh!
Dad.
Oh, what? I don't even get that.
Yeah, we will just step away from that.
Yes, it's episode 20.
Oh, my.
Oh, it's episode 20 for The Dot Matrix, and it's interesting because it's 20 episodes in pretty much roughly about a year.
Yes.
I mean, we started in late November, I believe, a year ago, so...
Right.
The last podcast we did was November 16th, so it's been a little bit of time since our last one anyways. And so lots to talk about, so I'm assuming, and I'm thinking this is probably going to be our last podcast before the new year, because it's going to get pretty crazy over the holidays, and...
Yes,
you know.
As it always does. And I think... But we should reconvene not too long after the holidays, because we're going to actually be involved in different events together, like...
Yes.
Dinners, get-togethers,
yes.
Food, drink.
Yes.
It's gonna be
lots of eating.
Snowballs.
Right, snowballs.
Sledding.
Sure, yes.
Snowshoeing. Oh, and cross-country skiing? No. We're kidding about that. Just the food.
No, and well, I could be an outdoorsy person.
You know, you could. You just gotta brush up on your snowboarding.
Right,
and,
yes.
And you'll be right in there.
Yes, yes.
And you know, I don't really like skiing, like downhill skiing.
Right, yeah.
Last time we went, was it that last time that we all went?
I wasn't there the last time you guys all went. The last time we went together was elementary school, I think.
That was about 20 years ago.
Right, yes.
And I don't know, we've only been a few times, I think. Well, you've been snowboarding. I haven't even tried snowboarding yet, but I didn't like downhill, because...
Right.
I need to take lessons, I guess. We just kind of fall
right
into it.
Yes. Now, okay, topic number one, since that was kind of a dying conversation.
just going for a little
yes.
Spontaneity here.
You said lesson, and I want to talk about this first because I am curious. I mean, we've got lots to talk about. I mean, there's Hillary Clinton is the new Secretary of State designate, or at least, you know, nominee.
Yes.
And
yeah.
There's the attacks in India. There is the almost fall of the conservative government here in Canada.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about. But what I want to talk about first is Sean taking conversational French lessons.
Yes.
How did that come about? And why did you decide to do it? And just start telling me this story, please.
Yes,
telling the world.
I think I kind of threw you and others for a loop on that one.
Yes.
I actually talked to Steve today about it, too, and we had a good convo about it. But
convo?
I did say convo, yes. But I knew I'd get a reaction out of you. But yes, because Elaine and I want to go to France next year for a little visit. And knowing that I can speak French to a degree, Jess and I both learned French throughout our school years.
Oui, oui.
Yes, you. Say bye. That I wanted to brush up on it, just like you would brush up on your snowboarding if you chose to.
Right.
And
yes.
It kind of did come out of the blue, because I was talking to them, like, you know, I had actually considered taking, going, you know, those continuing education things.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the fall, but I thought, no, it's, you know, maybe there's a different way. And then Elaine was looking around online. She found this posting on Craigslist of this woman who teaches from her residence.
Right, her boudoir, yes.
Yes.
No, just kidding, just joking. Sorry, keep going.
And she's from France, and she was advertising...
Yeah.
Sorry,
that's a little Coneheads reference for those of you who actually
okay, yeah.
know Coneheads.
I didn't quite get where you're
yeah.
going with that, but...
No, anyways... Keep going.
So I thought, hey, well, that's a good, you know, little one-on-one, none of this sit-in-a-class thing, just conversational French. She could help me with all the different aspects of French, but I just wanted to get back in the habit of speaking it.
Yeah.
Because we never really get to practice very much.
No. And when we try to do it in parties, we annoy people.
Yes. And we don't want to do that anymore. So there's a few of us who still like to speak with each other, but we do it so rarely and so far in between that... I thought, well, if if I'm going to go there, and I want to go there comfortable enough to really, you know, engage with people without worrying about it or getting too anxious about it. And have an even better time. So I thought, hey, yeah, let's try this. So I went over last week. I met her and we sat down for just over an hour and spoke all in French the whole time.
Nice.
And it was really good fun. Like, I really got into it, and she corrected me along the line if I was, you know, not speaking.
Right.
Now,
do you have
words.
Conversation that was structured, or do you just talk for an hour, whatever came up, sort of like you and I are talking, but just in French?
Basically.
Okay.
I mean, it could have been a podcast.
Yeah, and that's kind of neat, actually. Like, when you think about it, I like that. I mean, I don't see why. I mean, people can want to do it that way and feel comfortable doing it one-on-one. I don't see why you wouldn't do one-on-one. That's the
whole
point.
Just like anything else.
That's how you're going to talk to people, is one-on-one.
Absolutely.
Know?
Very conversational, and we are social commentators. So I thought, well, why not take that, you know, to the next level in French? And
well, maybe we'll do a podcast in French one of these days.
I think we should.
Okay.
Why not? That's a good challenge for us. And
yeah.
The thing is, it just makes me feel more at ease, and it was amazing, because throughout the conversation, and we talked about anything, you know, like, we talked about France, we talked about Quebec, we talked about stuff I did this week, stuff she told me about herself, I told her about us, and just normal day-to-day things, and I really started to get into it, and she made me think of words I have not thought of in years and years.
Nice.
Like, I'd say a word in a sentence, and she'd be like, oh, like this, and I'll say it. I'm like, that's right. Like, how could I forget?
Right.
So it brought up a lot of things I had forgotten. So
okay.
It was really good. And she said, you know, I can help you with grammar. I can help you with, you know, like writing, speaking, expressions, you know, think about things that you think you need help with. Or like she says with her other students, like some people are just like, you know what? I just want to be able to just have a great conversation easily.
Right.
And so that's what we're focusing on for now.
Nice. And so have you, I mean, I'm assuming this first time was just a tester, just to see if you feel comfortable with this person, and apparently you do, since you're going back tonight, right? Just for your second one. And
that's right.
And so what's the commitment? Do you have, it's eight lessons or eight times, or do you just go ongoing until you figure you've had enough, or like, how does that work?
It's ongoing, and it's basically every week the schedule changes, so, because she has other students, and she has other things she does, obviously, as I do, so, like, work and things, so... we just, week by week, like, I'm going twice this week, and, so, yeah, like, based on that, and her week coming up, she knows on a week basis, so we just say, okay, let's pencil our lesson in here and there, and we'll just go like that until I feel that I'm at a stage where I'm ready to, travel, or even beyond that, like, if I just want to keep going with it and get better.
Nice.
The only trouble is that I keep thinking, okay, well, it's good for going on a trip. But then, you know, after that, you know, when am I going to use it after again? You know, because I don't know Francophone people here that I speak to all the time, but
right.
Maybe she'll be the only one.
Maybe.
You know, but it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to tonight's lesson, so.
Wow. Craigslist, you'll find everything. That's kind of neat.
It's cool.
So, that's interesting. Like, I wouldn't know where you'd even look under. Like, is there a category for, like, tutoring and stuff like that, or languages, maybe?
I don't know where exactly how they stumbled upon it, but she's pretty good at internet searching anyway.
Classes.
She
looked under classes.
So there you go.
Nice.
It's good, because then you're not... It's more comfortable, it's more relaxed. You're not with different people of different degrees of, you know...
And so did you find at any... See, I'm fascinated by this, as you can tell.
Awesome.
Now, did you find at any moment in your first time together... and it's probably one of the first times in a long time that you've actually spent a whole hour in French conversation. I can't even imagine a time that I've had an hour full-on in French conversation.
Full on, yeah.
I maybe listened for, you know, but not interacting. I mean, that's a very different thing, right? So did you ever find I'm sure there's points where you sort of stumbled on a word or you couldn't remember
Absolutely.
What it was. But did you ever had a point where you didn't understand what she was saying? Like you had to ask her to repeat it, or was your comprehension still pretty clear? I'm just curious.
That's actually a really good question, because I was a little worried about that going in, because, you know, thinking that it was going to be conversational, I thought, oh, you know, am I going to have to ask her to explain herself every time she says something, you know? But honestly, I didn't. And she, you know, she didn't speak too fast, but she wasn't speaking extra slow either.
Right.
Which was great. So it was, like, a very natural thing.
Right.
There was a couple of times where something flew past me and I didn't quite grasp, and I would ask her, and she would explain it in a different way. And
right.
I'm like, ah, okay, I get what you're saying.
Right.
But overall, I actually was amazed. Like, I actually did understand. It was pretty free-flowing. It wasn't too stop and start. The only time it was stop and start was when I couldn't remember something, and I'd actually say in English, I'd say, you know, I just can't remember. And she'd tell me, and I'd be like, oh, yeah.
But, do you get angry when you say something in English, or is it...
Oh, no. Because, you know, she's pretty good in English. But, you know, there's things where, you know, it would be like, oh, you know, let's just say in English, we don't know what we're saying or whatever. And,
right.
And she'd figure it out. So it went really well.
Huh. Okay.
I know, and I didn't tell anyone really before it started.
It just happened, and then there it is, your little Facebook thing saying, you had your first lesson, and
yeah.
Of course I had to say something. I mean,
yeah.
I don't typically, you know, comment on too many people's statuses, but this one I had to go say what or whatever I said. I can't remember. It's just one question. I was like, I don't, what? Why do you need that?
You and my aunt responded, and then I saw this other guy respond who I didn't know who it was. I think it's a friend of my sister's that I met recently.
Okay.
And then at my sister's birthday that, you know, I, you know, was hanging out with these people. They're all really nice, and people my sister have known for quite a while. So they're like, hey, you know, get to know each other on Facebook, as we usually do with people. And I said, oh, yeah, cool, but I hadn't really remembered the names, so,
right.
But when I looked at it again, I'm like, oh yeah, I think that's one of my sister's friends, so I'm like, okay, that's all good. It's like, who is this mysterious person, you know, just like tapping in on the conversation, but last time I used the word tap, but
you know,
anyway,
you can always use that word, you know, like a tap or faucet, or, you know, tapping that, you know, anything you want to say. No?
No, that's quite all right, I'll leave it up to you. Anyway, but we have
so
a lot.
So speaking about
to
tapping
say.
That, Hillary Clinton. No, was that not good? That was
that's,
good.
That's probably not one that we want to go
no,
with. But yeah, I was gonna say
okay,
about
yes.
that
yes.
because I'm glad you brought that up because I thought when there was speculation that she'd be Obama's pick,
right?
You're like no, and I'm like oh yes. She's going to be a damn good Secretary of State. She's going to be a really good Vinnick.
Good Vinnick. That is so funny. West Wing reference for those of you who don't know the final season. But yeah,
You weren't sure.
I wasn't sure, but then the more people talked about it, and the more it was just so rampant, the rumors.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was... very clear to me that at a certain point they were so prevalent the rumors that it could not be.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like it would be hurtful to the nation to say it in a really grandiose way
mm-hmm.
if she did not become Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
Just because how can you let all these rumors fly so quickly and not deny them and to shoot them down really quickly at the very front end? Because then you build up all these expectations, and then people already feel hard done by that she didn't get the nomination.
That's right.
You know, 50% of the people who voted in primaries pretty much are feeling crappy.
Yes.
And then to let the rumors become so large, and then to disappoint that constituency again, like, would just be unconscionable for anyone, you know? So.
Yeah. No, actually, that's a good point, and I think, you know, it was a really good choice because partly because she is a woman, I would say. It's great that we've had a good line of women Secretary of States, Madeleine Albright.
Yes.
Time to go, Condi. But nice to see you. But
yeah.
Bring in Hillary. Condi, I think, wasn't as effective for the role.
Well, what I find really interesting, and I think what's going to be different about this, I mean they're very different people generally, Condoleezza Rice and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
But what people are framing this at very clearly is that, and it's overall the whole selection of what Obama's doing in his team and his cabinet positions, is he's selecting, and people talk about, you know, the Lincoln model, surrounding yourself with enemies and whatever, or your rivals and stuff. And,
right.
And, I mean, yes, there's some degree of that, but what I find really interesting is that Hillary Clinton had a very strong and different point of view in how foreign affairs should be done, and they talked about it at length in their debates in the primaries. And so, although Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in the primaries had very similar platforms on a lot of social issues,
mm-hmm.
their big difference was in foreign affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are like, well, why would you put in Secretary of State? And I think that's where you need that kind of good debate.
Yes.
Like, and in the end, of course, it's the president who decides what the foreign policy is.
Yeah.
But to have... to not, and that's the problem with Condoleezza Rice, that she's really framed herself as a lackey, as the Alberto Gonzalez of the State Department, just doing whatever Bush wanted.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sure she's a very intelligent woman, and she absolutely is, but she does not come across as someone who provided any sober second thought to discussions, never constructive, a different angle, a different point of view. And they're definitely positioning Hillary Clinton as someone who will be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important in this kind of world that we live in today, where understanding different points of view before you make your decision is kind of vital.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what gets these guys into trouble every single time, when you've got someone that's just like, yes, sir, this is what I'll report back to the other country, sir. And it's just ridiculous, because you know that you got to know that there's some things that she's put forward as policy while speaking to other countries or in other countries, and she's literally shaking when she's speaking and doing her talks. Like, she just does not come across as a confident speaker.
Right.
And you know that it's really surprising, given how intelligent she is, that, and I found this from day one, that even before Secretary of State, when what was she before? Defense.
She was a National Security Advisor.
National Security Advisor. Okay, so still very hawkish, I think, considering. Like, I think Hillary's might be looked at as hawkish in a different way, still with a lot of the same ideals as her party, but still, like, we're gonna be firm. We're gonna show how we feel is right, and. Yet be a little more open-minded, maybe.
Right, yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm very excited, for one. I hope you are, too.
Well, I'm just generally excited. It's quite an interesting time. Like,
it really is.
Like, he has taken the office of the president-elect to a whole new level. Like,
it's amazing.
His own website. You know that the website, the official website of the transition team, is called change.gov.
Yeah. I know.
Change.gov.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, he...
amazing.
We were talking about this, I had my staff lunch today, and we were talking about just the clarity of purpose, the focusness of Obama as an individual and of the campaign, that, like, if you analyze his speeches, like, he was never once off message, and very, deliberate, very... controlled, very, not in bad ways, but in very, you know, focused ways, and he was never deterred from what his vision was. You know, he's the kind of guy who knows where he wants to go and is going to go there.
Mm-hmm. As much as he possibly can.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that could be the same description as George W. Bush, I guess, right? But the difference with Obama is that he frames himself as his direction is always informed by the views of others, right?
And, yeah, absolutely.
So that's, it's an interesting thing about Obama, and it's, and let's just hope he doesn't become a very big disappointment. I'm just worried about that. But I think the first year is going to be an interesting year.
I was thinking about that point that you just made about, you know, possibly being disappointed. And I thought to myself, you know, he's got such a vision, yet he's got lots of people around him who believe in that vision.
Yes.
And I think, you know, Clinton stumbled in the first couple of years.
Yes.
And I think, you know, he is going to make some mistakes, and he knows it. But I think, man, we have to let him. Those people down there have to let him make those mistakes. And look at JFK's first year, his first few months, Bay of Pigs, right?
Right.
He enacted on a plan that was already kind of hatched before he became president, to go in there to Cuba, and it failed miserably. and it really hurt his presidency, but look what he's managed to accomplish since then. And I think Obama's a good example of that. And by the way, I think Caroline Kennedy should be a junior New York senator. Just throw that in there.
I saw that in an article that she had approached the governor to be named. So that's interesting. Like, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, yeah, I really have no opinion about that. But I did read the article in the New York, or is it New York Times or CBC.ca, one or the other, about Caroline Kennedy.
But I'm not sure if you had other U.S. topics that you want to...
Well, one thing I just saw, and this is fascinating.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with politics at all, but it has to do with the politics of late-night television.
Oh.
I went to NewYorkTimes.com, and they literally, right before the end of my day, I work a full day, and then I go to these websites and check out the news.
Sure.
Yeah, just in case anyone's listening who knows me from my professional life.
Right.
And there was a little article there that apparently tomorrow NBC will announce that they've signed Jay Leno to a multi-year deal to host a show, basically like The Tonight Show, Monday to Friday at 10 p.m. That they, like, unheard of. I mean, you have, like, those, I think they're called stripping shows or whatever they're called. I don't know. Not stripping as in, like, getting naked. At least the article
too
talked
bad.
About how, yeah, I know. Well, really? Jay Leno? You tap that?
Ah! Oh, no!
Sorry, that's...
Hell no!
But, you know, like they would give him a show, like, so 10 o'clock would be Jay Leno every night, Monday to Friday. Just like, you know, Tonight Show's Monday to Friday. But, you know, those kinds of shows are, like, late night or Regis and Kelly in the morning or, you know, like, The View kind of thing,
right?
It's
still prime time.
So it's prime time. And there's an article on another website about entertainment news and saying how the NBC browser saying that, you know, the ratings are so poor with NBC, they're thinking about cutting down their schedule. You know, like, Fox doesn't do it. Doesn't program at 10 o'clock. It's always 10 o'clock news locally on Fox. So NBC is now thinking about cutting it and cutting their programming.
Okay.
So I thought it was fascinating. I'd never, like, giving someone a 10 o'clock every night, weeknight. Like, it'd be such a cheap thing to do and to probably get a lot of ratings because Leno gets a lot of ratings, so.
He just really does. It's quite... I'm actually shocked at how well he does. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just... You know what it is? I think he always beats Letterman because Letterman is of his territory. And I think Leno's humor, or the way he does things, is the classic Hollywood way that still appeals to most of the country.
Yeah.
And what kind of format is this going to be? Is it just going to be another talk show
just
with,
like,
celebrities?
I would think so. Just like
really?
That. Yeah.
And Kevin's going to follow him? And or are they going to stay with...
yeah, I don't know. Well, Conan O'Brien is...
Conan's going to Tonight Show.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that was kind of interesting. That's the only other U.S. thing I was going to say. But but yeah, well, I'll link to the article. It's quite interesting.
That's really cool.
But speaking of tapping that, Stephen Harper. No,
Stephen Harper.
I just want to keep the tapping that as a theme for the episode at this point. I'm just saying that. But yes, the Canada has never been in the news so much about its government and politics that it has
in the last
couple of weeks. And it's really... Like, people say it's really sad because it's about the hope and the change and the clarity of direction
mm-hmm.
of an incoming administration in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these petty individuals. I mean, regardless of what political stripe you are, like, it's pretty shameful, just all this sort of maneuvering in many ways and people just trying to, you know...
Seize power
in whatever way you want to think of it or hold on to it to the, you know, to the bitter end kind of thing. And it's just... Yeah, it's not... It doesn't show well in terms of the quality of the leadership we have in Canadian politics.
I'm willing to bet that you agree on how I feel about it.
Okay, tell me what you think, because I have a particular point of view, and it's not really a staunch point of view one way or the other, but...
I agree.
But let's hear it.
Okay, well,
Mr.
I'll give
Sean.
You mine. Okay. My take is that although the Conservatives... really showed their true colors with their ideology and their arrogance.
Right, and just to give
weeks ago,
yeah, just to give a bit of context, it's a parliamentary system up in Canada, and the parliament votes on matters of confidence, which is financials would be one of those matters. So
yeah.
A few weeks ago, the conservative minority government, meaning that they are governing the country but don't have the majority of seats, elected seats in the House,
right,
in Parliament, and they put together a financial update, as you tend to do in this political and economic crisis that we're living in. And in that budget update, they had a bunch of different policies that were very controversial. Limits to women's services programs, I think, was one of them.
Yeah.
Limits to political party funding from by the public taxpayer funds. A freeze on ability of civil servants to strike for the next 3 years. Like, some pretty
heavy
ideological things.
Yeah.
That and also the other one with the lack of a economic stimulus package for the economy in Canada, which other countries have been doing in spades, like the US $700 billion in the sort of car industries and the Europe stuff. So and that budget update gets voted on by the House, and that would be a motion, a vote of confidence. Mm. So if the the opposition parties all came together and voted against this budget, then that would basically force the government to cause the government to fall, and then whatever happens after that is up for debate, right? So that's the context for people who don't know it. And so, Sean.
I'm glad you actually explained that, because there was quite a few examples of what the conservatives tabled in their update about what they wanted to change. And my whole take was, they won this election a month and a half ago.
Right, October
14th. General election. And they're using that to see how far they can go.
Right.
With all these ideological things they're trying to put forward. The big one that I think that irked the other parties, I hate, sad to say, is the taking away of those subsidies of the being elected from the taxpayer. But I think I can't help but think that they use that and some other of those motions to basically seize power. And I think it is, I was really shocked at that. As much as I would support those other parties over the conservatives, I think it was kind of almost beside the point.
It looked kind of greedy.
Or
self-serving, is the
better. It looked greedy, self-serving. You have a union of, like, a coalition of parties that even just during election scoffed at. You have a leader of the Liberals who's outgoing and who's stepping down just today.
Yes.
And so you don't even have an interim leader yet. And they're backed by the separatist Bloc Québécois party, which I think is wrong. So I think what this pseudo-coalition is trying to do is actually almost even worse than what the conservatives were trying to do. I think it's great that they're standing up, because so they should.
Okay.
But I don't care if the election was yesterday. I think that when doing what they're doing with this coalition, they're basically showing people that making people not want to believe things that they say during elections, like policy-wise,
right,
idealistically. So you're disappointing all these people who thought they knew who the Liberal Party was, thought they knew who the New Democrats were.
Right.
And I know you're ready to jump in. I'll finish this quickly.
No worries. Keep going.
I think that Michel Jean, our Governor General, who prorogued Parliament, even though I don't like the idea of that.
Right,
and
proroguing means, prorogation means suspending Parliament for a period of time.
I think in one hand it delayed the inevitable, but on the other hand, it allowed the Conservatives to actually do what they were supposed to do, which was table a budget, and we'll see. I think it was right in the end, but I think the coalition is wrong, and I think it's fake, and I think that it's not, like, it's not a real coalition, and I think it's a power grab, plain and simple. That's my thoughts.
Interesting.
Yes.
I couldn't be farther from the truth, farther from your opinion. But I don't have a really hardcore theoretical stance. Like my view is, I mean, I totally agree with that. Like, I do think To some degree, obviously, not to all degrees. I agree with that it is kind of self-serving because they were going to cut public funding, so taxpayer money funding, to political parties.
Who are cash-strapped at the moment.
Those
parties.
Yes. And, well, except from my understanding, the Conservative Party.
Oh, I mean, in the coalition side, yeah.
And so, one, you know, I think it does look kind of self-serving, but at the same time, if you think about it in another way,
mm-hmm.
If that went through, I mean, not that it would bankrupt political parties. It might. But what it would do, it would change the dynamic of how democracy is run in this country.
It would, yeah.
And I'm not quite sure if one party has the right to do that to a whole nation and how politics and government and elections and democracy is all run.
I agree.
So I think there's an impact of that that is self-serving, but there's an impact that is kind of global in how we understand the electoral process and how ideologies get grouped together in under political parties.
Right.
Although the Liberal Party has never really been one based on ideology. It's just whatever is the most completely biggest umbrella you can build,
yeah.
Right?
In
the middle,
yeah.
Right? So I do have a sense and a sympathy to that, and I worry about that. So
as do I.
So in that sense, I think there is a little. Although I think the reaction is more self-serving, I think there's implications that go beyond that.
Yeah.
I don't think, and then the coalition has been really hard about talking about, well, we're really against the budget update because they didn't have a stimulus package.
Mm.
Well, one, I do agree that if the Conservatives were working hard, they really should have come up with something.
I agree.
They had enough time. I mean, Obama's already putting together his plan, and, you know, it's all, you know. But the only other thing is I don't feel the same kind of urgency that the opposition parties are positioning it as. Because, yes, we're in tough times, but a lot of it is the financial system in the States and the mortgages in the States are just crumbling and all that stuff. But we have a much stronger, more controlled banking system in Canada. So we're not worried about the Royal Bank going under or Bank of Montreal going under, at least I don't think so. And mortgages are not in disarray like they are in the States. So
way more regulated.
Yeah, so I don't feel the kind of economic pressure, although I know it's tough times, that would warrant a stimulus package right away. So giving a government enough time to do a full budget and actually to think about what they want to do in a very controlled and concerted way, I don't disagree with that. I think,
I'm there with
right?
you. Yeah.
So in that point, I agree with what you've been saying. Where we differ is a little bit on the coalition. And the process.
Okay.
And, I mean, some people would say it's semantics, but I think the semantics are really important here. The Bloc Québécois is not a part of the coalition. The coalition was specifically the Liberal Party and the NDP the NDP party. And the only agreement that involves the Bloc Québécois is that they would not vote to defeat this coalition government if elected and if given the opportunity to serve as government for 18 months. So they talk about a veto for the separatists or the sovereigntists or whatever you want to say if you're speaking in French or English. I don't agree with that sort of the way they were totally putting that wedge issue around. Oh, you're giving separatists and socialists a veto in
right.
Canadian government. So one thing is I don't appreciate the Conservative government and Stephen Harper in particular suddenly making socialist a bad word. Like, it has never been a bad word in Canada. People talk about it like Arnold Vinnick did in West Wing, and in the vernacular down in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and in politics in the U.S., it's a very dirty word, socialism and socialist.
Mm-hmm.
But in Canada, it isn't. So to suddenly start to throw it out like a swear word or like shit, you know, like it seems off-putting and disingenuous. So that's one thing, and maybe this is where people, I'm not too informed about Quebec and separation and the sovereigntist movement, but to me there's a big difference between a political party whose sole purpose is to have independence for Quebec versus a political party whose sole purpose is to break up Canada.
What's the difference?
There's a difference is, you know, one part of it wants to leave,
mm-hmm.
versus the other one is more destructionist, you know? Like, I don't believe the Quebec, the Bloc Québécois or the sovereignist movement is about
destroying
Canada. Then suddenly we have 10 states that all
choose,
and chaos ensues. They just want to hive. I mean, I'm saying it lightly. Like, they just want to hive off Quebec. I mean that's... But there is something... you're saying something very destructive when you're talking about breaking up, like they want to destroy Canada, or they want, you know what I mean? So, and I think there's a difference, and I mean, people would argue with me, and I'm sure we could have a really good discussion about that, but I don't believe that it's fair to sort of say everyone who's pro-Quebec is anti-Canada. I think people are not happy with the federalist system. Transfer payments are unequal, or Quebec isn't getting enough, but Quebec isn't
getting enough,
right? You know,
enough.
I mean, that's another argument, which I, you know, I'm probably more on your side on.
Yeah.
But that's a very different thing than saying we hate Canada and we want it to self-implode. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So that's a subtleness on that piece. But the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm taking up way too much airtime on this, is I really, oppose that when the Conservative government, as one of their speaking points against the coalition, was that this is anti-democratic. That is, it is
no
affront to our democracy to do this. And for me, and I'm not a student of the parliamentary system in its entirety, in its little infinite details.
Yeah.
But my understanding is votes on a budget are confidence motions. And if opposition party members want MPs want to members of parliament want to vote down a budget and show to the Governor General that the government does not have confidence in the House, they have every right to do so within the parliamentary system,
which is our democracy. Yeah.
And people forget that we elect members of parliament to represent our interests, and they're not. We pay them money and a salary to go to Ottawa with a conscience of their electorate and to make decisions. It's sort of like, you know, if you were working in a company and your boss hires you and you're going to do this job, and, you know, and that job comes with a certain amount of responsibility, a certain amount of decision-making power, but then your boss comes to you every day and second-guesses every decision you make and wants a say in every decision you make.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Like,
no.
You are hiring, in many ways, this person to represent you and to represent your interests. And to deny that those MPs or the House of Commons to exercise that right by suspending Parliament, even before it even begins doing its work, I think that is what's undemocratic. And that's, to me, the crux of everything else I've said is sort of just commentary and thinking and just my general thoughts. And again, not terribly educated, but just, you know, guesses. But this piece around the vote and denying the vote, which would have happened today, I think that piece, I feel very, you know, fairly confident. I'm going to back down a little bit. I feel very confident that's the undemocratic piece for me. For me, that's irrespective of whether or not it's a liberal minority or conservative minority or whatever. I just think there should be that vote should happen. So,
I fully agree with that point. I think there's nothing wrong with that vote because there's nothing out of the normal going for that vote of non-confidence. That's part of the system. I think what he's saying, though, and this is just devil's advocate.
Yep, sure, absolutely.
I think where he's coming from, which is completely stupid, is that it's the way it's that whole power grab idea is the undemocratic part of it. I think instead of actually he thinks they're doing this, they're seizing power. This is our time. This is our time to seize power and do this thing we've never done before.
Right.
Use it's almost like some crazy rare loophole, but it's something that they've never really exercised before this way. except for like Joe Clark back in the, that was a little different, but it wasn't quite a power grab. They, it was just a simple, like,
well,
straight
they,
and simple.
They defeated the government and then they went had
an election,
right? So,
but the
yeah.
problem is that when you add in the fact that there was just an election,
yeah.
that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying. However,
yeah.
I think it's bullshit, but...
But I think that's why it's in the Constitution, where the
is.
Governor General has the prerogative to, if she feels that the opposition parties
can
have enough confidence...
Govern.
Not necessarily better govern, but have the confidence to be able to put together a government that would have the confidence of the House of Commons, which is the number of votes that,
yeah.
you know... then they should have the right to do so. And
yeah.
she should have the prerogative to ask the leader of the opposition to form that government. Of course, then you have debates about whether the legitimacy of the governor general, and then and that's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't necessarily worry about that, because I worry about it in a sort of global sense, but... I don't know if I don't know if it's a slander or anything, but I would worry more if Adrian Clarkson was making a decision than Michaela Jean. For some reason, I don't know much about Michaela Jean, but she seems to me a very reasonable woman
yep.
who would think about this in a very
yep.
measured way. And
if this was Adrian Clarkson, I would be like,
see,
oh,
and
I have no hope.
And I have no basis for that. I really don't know, just from a general impression of her, right? You know?
I
so,
do.
Okay. So you can be super slander, I'm safe, is all I'm going to have to say.
Yeah, I'll be slander. I have 2 points based on what you said. So
okay.
This is turning into an
Please.
Actual debate here.
This is great.
But one is, during the election, Dion reacted to the NDP's fiscal plan and called it old-fashioned socialist.
Right.
So... when we talk about making socialist that a dirty word,
yeah,
Dion is one of them.
Yeah.
And as much as that may have been just a reaction at the time, and, you know, it's just a game during the election, you gotta discount the other person's policies and ways, but I think, you know, Harper was wrong to say that in Parliament. I saw the footage where he got up and says, this is a socialist, and da-da-da-da-da. As if it was a bad, bad thing. I think that's wrong. But Dion's done it. And
right.
that's when you see these guys come together like that, it makes me cringe. Because I think, if anything, Jack Layton and the NDP would be the last ones to join a coalition with the Liberals, not the other way around. I think the Liberals would be like, hey, we'll have you guys, no problem. We're going to run the show anyway.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Actually, one interesting thing was like when you apparently I was reading some reports about about the deal of the coalition.
Me too.
And you're like, so the NDP would get
six
people in cabinet, and they're not even ministers; they're parliamentary secretaries,
and
like,
no finance positions.
Yeah,
know this, know that.
You're like, so Jack Layton can be just as powerful as Hedy Fry. Woohoo!
Whoa. Let's talk about crosses and burnings. But the other thing is,
yes,
when you
please.
Talk about this, you know, I totally agree on the separatist, you
right.
know, destroying Canada or just wanting their own country thing.
Right.
I agree. I think the English press go too far with that often. Be that as it may, the issue that I have with the Bloc is they talk, when you have them sign a document with the other two parties saying, we will support you, as in... not vote against you for the next 18 months.
Right.
Which is also the time that those other two parties are agreeing to stay together, not longer. You have effectively, I think, joined that coalition. I don't think there's any difference between saying, it's just the wording. It's like saying, I'm not going to join this coalition, but I fully support it and I won't ever bring them down. I will give them their way every time. That,
see,
to me, is effectively the same thing. Different, same shit, different pile. Don't
see,
you,
no,
you think?
I don't agree, because a coalition means a much more active role. They're not saying that the Bloc Québécois would caucus with the coalition. They won't have a say in the debate or the discussions that happen internally about policy. They're not going to be a minister of any kind in this government. They're not going to be in government, and I think that wouldn't make sense. Why would you, as someone who wants to separate from the country... be running a ministry that is for the whole country, right?
Oh,
like,
I know.
You know, so,
it makes no sense
right?
at all.
So I actually do think there's a difference.
But there might be a factual difference, but really what happens on the ground, we're talking about if all it takes is one vote from their party in general to say, no, we're not agreeing with the coalition, breaks their bond, they're not a coalition anymore.
Yeah, but then there's an election.
Right, but if we don't go... The whole idea is that we're not going to do an election. There's a coalition that the Governor General could have said, you know what, we're going to put you guys in place instead, throw the Conservatives, based on the fact that the Bloc will support them. If they don't have that written thing from the Bloc saying, we're not going to support you, or saying we are going to support you, if they don't have that,
right.
They don't have what they need to govern. Like, they're dead in the water. Otherwise, the Conservative Party, wherever it's at that point, would have to support them, and that's not going to happen. So if them and the Bloc don't... It doesn't... The coalition... What is it? It's not a coalition. It's I think... Like, I see your point.
Right.
But I think that... I don't know how I say this differently, but, like... It's... To me, it's just a difference of words. To me, I think... Them supporting the coalition is the same as being part of it. It achieves the same goals. You know that they don't do this. I've read a lot of articles about this. They're not doing this for free.
Right.
You know that there is some fine print in there. The Liberals and the NDP are going to give them this and they're going to give them that, which if it helps for Quebec as a whole, great. I'm not against that. But you know behind the scenes they're like, oh yeah, this is such a great deal for us. We're just going to make this so worth it. Yeah, they might not be ministers. They might not be, like, all these different titles. But the coalition is dead without them. And I don't see a difference. But we could probably agree to disagree on that. You see where I'm going
I see
right?
where you're going. And, you know, and I totally agree that there is unspoken, unwritten... influence.
Absolutely.
in this arrangement. But I do still disagree that supporting a coalition and being part of the coalition is still two different things, at least in my view. But, you know, we can disagree. But what I find really interesting, which will, and I think people talked about this, is tonight is the Quebec election, provincial election.
That's right.
In Quebec.
That's right.
And I am very curious as to what the whole last couple of weeks...
Mm-hmm.
will have an effect or not an effect on what's going to happen as the results, right? Like, will
yep.
people, because of all this, get really fed up? Like, I mean,
separatist slandering?
With separatist slandering and vote, you know, Pauline Marois or whatever her name is,
yeah.
To be premier, and you have a Parti Québécois separatist government,
yeah.
sovereignist government in Quebec. Like, is going to push it that far? Or is it going to be such a backlash on the other end where people say, well, you know, hey, we're not all separatists. And then everyone's going to gravitate to the Liberals. Like, I have no idea. Like, I have absolutely no idea. And I'm just curious as to what the result will be. That will be, you know, and it's like, the last couple of weeks and all this rhetoric from the rest of Canada or, you know, from the Conservative Parliament or whatever, about throwing in the word separatist and whatever in a very bad way. I mean, don't get me wrong, I really don't agree with separation. Like, you know, I don't. About whether or not it's going to have an impact. It has to. I just can't imagine it doesn't. Like, you know, people in Quebec aren't deaf. They're going to hear what's going on, right? So I wonder how they're going to react. It's interesting.
I think it can go either way. A lot of people are saying they actually could get a majority. He had a majority before, and then I think in the last Quebec election, which didn't seem too long ago, but he lost some seats, Charest, and I think he might get some of those back. I think Quebecers at the end of the day are going to look at where their economy's at, and I think Charest is showing that he can run their province. And I think that's what a lot of people are, like the Action Démocratique, is that it? What's the third one?
Yeah, I think it is the actual name of Twin Peak.
Dumas?
Yeah, Dumas.
Yeah, I think he's going down. They say he's got like 15% or something, not even. So he was kind of like the guy in the middle.
Right.
Could go either way kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think
that's
full show.
That's a full show, yes, absolutely. But I do want to say today is December 8th, so happy birthday to our friend Josie, who's out there.
Yes.
Who hopefully will be listening to this sometime next year. And it is the last podcast of the year, so any final thoughts about the year before we go? Like, just to wrap it up, a nice little bow?
I think I'll mention a couple things. One quickly is... it is also the anniversary of John Lennon's passing. So I think it's good for everyone to listen to a little Imagine at some point. And I think if everyone in the world did, I think we'd have a lot less problems than we have. And, but for our podcast, I think...
what do you think? It's been a year.
I think it's been a really fun year. I really look forward to when we get together and do this. And hopefully next year we can think of some new ideas. We've mused about... going on location, interviewing people. Now we're thinking of doing one in French. I think that would be tons of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe in January we can just think of something new that we can do that's a little different. Maybe on location.
Podcasting in the nude? No?
If we had some female company, maybe, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, just had to say it like that. I don't know.
But I had a lot of fun. I think we should continue on next year, as we will. And maybe it might not be every 2 weeks, as we're averaging more once a month now. But we'll try and do it more frequently.
I think it's at least once every 3 weeks we seem to get.
Once every 3 weeks. Yeah.
And hopefully people are still interested in it. And every so often I hear someone say that they listen. So it's kind of neat. We have maybe 6 listeners, probably.
Yeah.
7, 8,
and I think if we can get some more feedback, that would be... that would really be helpful too. Yes. I think we'd really be into that.
TheDotMatrix.com. I don't have any other thoughts other than what you've just said. I've had a great time, and I'm so glad we've been doing this, and that you were keen on this idea when we were sort of throwing it around as a concept.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to more in the next year, and it's going to be good.
All right. Well, so long for 2008.
Yes.
Here's to 2009.
Yes.
You know, we might want to reconvene before or after, we can do both, the inauguration of Obama.
Yes, that's January 20th.
And then the next week
is the potential fall of the conservative government. So it's going to be, I think we do one before and then one after both of those events.
That's good. Okay, let's do that.
Sounds good. Mark your calendars, folks.
It's coming. We're Sean and Jess in action. Okay, well, happy holidays.
Take care. Oh,
why isn't this... Oh.